opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and are not representative of their employers, spouses, or associates. If you haven't gathered from the title, the language used on the show is akin to that of a high school boys' locker room. Listener discretion is advised.
The advice given in this podcast is worth what you pay for it, which is nothing.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of F'd Up Farming. I'm your host, Tyler, and across from me in the crow's nest tonight is Royce O'Neill. How are you tonight, Royce?
I'm good, Tyler. How are you?
Why are you talking weird?
I'm not talking weird. You're talking
weird. I'm not talking weird. I'm just talking.
So what's up?
I'm good.
Are you?
Apparently, you're weird.
Why am I weird?
You sound weird. You're talking weird.
You're
got a
in
weird
charge
look
of the board.
On your face. I know I'm in charge of the board. I'm taking control of the fucking
board. So why
are
you making me sound weird? All right, we're going to start over.
There's some things even
Hello,
God
everybody,
can't
and
change,
welcome to another fun-filled
some
episode.
Things even God can't change.
Hello, everybody, and
all right,
welcome
he
to
He made
another.
His mistake the first time, and that's the end of it. Now, are you going to make me continue to make you feel bad calling you God's mistake, or do you want me to get on with the sponsors and the people that make it possible for me to come up here and talk shit to you?
I took it to mean you were God's mistake, and we just left it alone after you. But, I mean, to each their own. So, in sponsorship tonight, let's lead off with the Livestock Podcast up in Hepburn, Saskatchewan.
What's up, Canada?
Putting out more good episodes.
Is he, though?
He did a couple weeks ago, didn't he?
I don't know.
That's pretty decent.
Busy.
The Simmental one he did a couple weeks ago was pretty good.
Yeah, I've been busy. I haven't had a chance.
You want to do one?
Oh, yeah, I'll do one. I'm going to go with Meat Club Lambs. Sheep's not on the cheap. Gatesby, Texas.
Best people, best sheep in the business.
I thought we decided they were at a 75% of the best people.
Well, Mom and Papa Meek are still the best people.
Okay.
I mean, they have been awarded the
People
of the Year.
The year.
So, also we have Moe Cattle Company, or Moe Enterprises, depending on how you want to look at it. Best Angus and Sim Angus genetics since 2023.
No doubt, no doubt. And also we have Texas Beverage and Packaging, Groom, Texas. Check them out.
Sweet good little products. Honey hole.
They got a really nice bourbon in today called Walking Stick, I believe. So good. So smooth. Had a little sample while I was cooking supper.
Enjoyed it, huh?
I did. I was going to bring it to you, and then I thought, no. I'm just going to taste this here. You'll be at the house eventually. You can have a little sample.
I'm sure.
Because I knew if I brought it, I'd have to leave it.
You don't have to leave it.
Royce, half the time I can't get out of here with my fucking sunglasses and my phone. Like, you really think I'm going to remember that bottle?
I do like how you quit carrying your cup up here, because you never remember to take it home either.
I don't know where it's at.
Your coffee cup?
Yeah, it's been lost for a while now. I think the wife stole it. Neither here nor there. Speaking of bottles of booze, tonight on the Texas Beverage and Package Store Booze Review. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Well, except for the pause there in the middle of it.
I'll cut that out. That's fine. We've got Calumet Farms 16-year-old single rack black Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. It's 106 proof. Rack W4007.09. Batch size was 19 barrels. Non-chill filtered for added depth of character. And there's a whole lot of words on the back. It talks about Citation. First American horse to make a 16-race win streak and top $1 million in career earnings. And to honor the legacy of Calumet Farm and its second Triple Crown winning horse, this exquisite bourbon has been crafted with the same passion and dedication that led Citation to victory.
Awesome.
CalumetBourbon.com.
Well, let's give her a sniff. Oh, good pop.
It's a good pop, and you could tell immediately looking at it that it's got just a fantastic color to it.
It looks beautiful in the bottle.
But it's also 16 years old. So that's to be expected.
Once again, thank you, Texas Beverage and Package Store in Groom, Texas.
Oh, you just know that's going to have a great mouthfeel to it. That's right. Use two hands to pour that.
I mean, it's not the oldest bourbon we've tried, but it's getting up there.
Lots of booze right off the nose.
Which isn't odd for a 106 proof bourbon.
Getting like some, like a. Maybe a strawberry or a cherry or...
I'm thinking grape.
I don't know. It's a fruit.
It is a fruit. And sugar. You're getting the sweet off of it.
That's why I was thinking it was a sweeter fruit, like a strawberry, or maybe a nice dark sweet cherry.
Could be.
Honestly, like, it's not an off-putting amount of alcohol, but it's definitely masking some stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with you on that.
Get some leather. Maybe just a hint of tobacco.
I'm not getting any tobacco, but I would agree with you on the leather. Definitely a fruit in there. Like you said, a sweeter fruit.
Very oak forward.
It is. It's not quite as sweet as what it smells.
No, I expected a little more on the sweet factor.
But it is very smooth.
Very smooth. A lot of oak and still catching that leather.
Yeah.
Like your more tannin-like qualities out of it.
Yeah. That's, okay, the tannins. That's what I was getting because that's what was making me think grape because it was almost kind of a wine scent to it when you're smelling it is what I was picking up off of it.
I'm still kind of disagreeing with you on that. But I understand your thought process now.
That may be where I was getting.
Very warm.
It is, but not overly hot like you get with some of the over 100 proofs. Like, it doesn't burn. It just warms on the way down.
I like it.
I do too. I think there's a lot more to pick out of that too.
That has an excellent mouthfeel to it.
Oh, it's fantastic. Nice and oily, thick. Coats your mouth really well. Stays on the tongue. Stays really nice over ice, too.
Doesn't open it up as much as I thought it might.
I was hoping for a little more.
There's stuff in there that I just don't think my palate's sophisticated enough to really grasp at this moment. But I do like it a lot. Trying to think what I want to score this bad boy.
I've got mine. You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to go 6.9.
6.9. I can see that. I think I'm going to go with a 7.2.
Very good.
I like that leather. I like how oily it is.
I mean, we're right there.
It's got enough burn to let you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, that would be a very good special occasion bourbon or bourbon to have on the shelf to show off. By the way, guys, go by and pick you up a bottle. He's got some of them on the shelf.
Very good. And I did some looking online. Very reasonably priced.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's good. I figured he would be. I hadn't seen him blow anything out of the water yet, price-wise.
No. No. He's certainly not gouging anybody over there, for sure. Go check it out, though. It's good stuff.
All right. You want to roll into killing the day?
Yeah, that'd be fine. We can do that.
All right. I'll go ahead and lead off.
If I want to go first?
I already said it.
I can mute your mic. As we learned last week, apparently I fucking have to.
True to the meme that's going around the internet, once you get over 30, you've got to get really into smoking meats in World War II history.
Didn't you already do that?
Target Tokyo? No. Because I just listened to it.
Did Brandon do that?
No, he did Flags of Our Fathers last week. We talked about it last week.
I thought he did Target Tokyo.
No.
Like the first time.
No, I don't think.
Or you have?
Uh-uh. Because I hadn't listened to it yet. Or I have just listened to it now.
And maybe I read that book. I don't know. It seems very familiar.
Like I said, we talked about it off air last week. But
proceed.
It's about the Doolittle raid and all that went into it and getting everybody back. And
I'm guessing it was very little.
It actually was not a large raid.
Get it?
I do. Everybody made fun of him for that name. The Japanese tried to make fun of him, too. It didn't work.
Nobody likes it when the Japs make fun of you.
The Americans called him Doolots.
So anyway, that works.
Solid book about the Doolittle raid and all of his raiders and what all went into it and what all happened. So give it a listen if you're looking for something to kill the day with.
There you go. Target Tokyo.
What do you got, Tyler?
Well, I'm going to go with a little band called Lucero.
Solid band.
And Drink Till We're Gone. We'll kill us in time. Till then we'll drink its weight. And cheap beer. So, anywho's, that was Lucero's Drink Till We're Gone, and it's a very good song.
It is
and
a like very solid song. Lot. They're it's, a good band.
Yeah, very melodic, very, mm-hmm. you know, just get it out.
Which he's another one of those that you just listen to his voice and you think, my God, how did you get a job as a singer? But then you listen to his music and it's all solid. And you just, you the voice grows on you.
I like his, well, I like his voice. I'm trying to figure out if they're even still touring. They haven't turned out an album since like 2002.
They hadn't turned out an album since 2002?
According to this.
I know they were still touring in 13 or 14.
Take that back. They might have got one in 15.
Because Caitlin took me to see them. Got to see them and Bingham at the same time.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Anywho's, solid show. Anywho's. Good band. Very good song.
Yeah.
Really like that album.
Really? I don't think... They're not hardly any songs from Lucero. I don't think I like.
There's a few that aren't my favorites.
I mean, maybe not my favorites, but I don't hate them.
There's a couple I'll skip if they come on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fair enough. All right, Tyler, since you got the topics...
I got all the topics. I got all the power.
Well, you do have the board.
So, first off, we're going to start with the railroad strike.
I thought they called it off.
Did they call it off?
I thought I heard today they came to terms.
But did they call it off yet? Because I don't think they're loading trains yet.
There's still a lot of them moving down the tracks.
Yeah, but they quit loading certain products, such as anhydrous ammonia and anything that had any kind of spoilage to it. And anything that had any kind of hazard to it.
I could see that. But...
potentially, it could be a big deal in our world.
It could.
We're not really hell-bent on rail, but we're pretty fucking hell-bent on rail.
We need corn coming in here pretty soon. Well, we'll have a small window that we won't need corn coming in because everybody's going to be harvesting corn. But even then, I think they're still pulling corn into the area.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think the corn ever stops coming in.
I don't think it does. Because I'm real sure we've been hauling corn to the elevator and we've been held up because they've been unloading transports of corn at the elevator.
Yeah.
So.
Shit, we've hauled wheat into the elevator and they're held up because they're
Well, that makes sense corn. Because at that point, all the corn's gone. All of our corn's gone.
I'm just
gone.
Saying it's year-round.
Yeah.
In and out.
You know, you would think the one time they would not be hauling in corn on rail is when we're hauling in our corn.
Not that much corn here, though.
That is true.
In the grand scheme of things.
Not as much as, I mean, compared to what gets used. Yeah. You're right. There is not that much corn.
Yeah.
So, no, I thought I'd heard they'd come to terms, but maybe they hadn't yet. Or maybe they just hadn't signed it, made it official.
What I read this morning said, oh, Joey B was working on getting this deal worked out.
Oh, that's scary knowing he's in charge of it.
Well, he's a friend of the labor unions, apparently. Kind of. But he doesn't work for them.
But
so don't forget that. He doesn't work for you.
But he was... somebody must have told him he was a friend of the labor unions.
He thinks so.
Because I doubt he remembered.
Speaking of Joey B, I saw a deal today where he was talking about something. And I say something, not like in a derogatory manner, in that I have no fucking idea what it was that he was talking about. But he went on for this like 3-minute deal about, yeah, you know, in lives and how do they and like they've got no money and like how do they want to and he's waving his hands and he's got his microphone and he's talking, and then it cut to that scene from The Office when Dwight Schrute was giving his Salesman of the Year speech or whatever, and he's waving his hands and he's pounding it on the table and he's going the wheels of fortune run by the blood of tyrants or something like that. I don't remember the exact quote, but it's what is, the blood of enemies alone move the wheels of the future or something. And I thought, boy, if that wasn't just like the most perfect cut, like. So yeah, we got him in charge, so that'll be good. Maybe he can get these damn railroaders back to work. I'm not even entirely. Do you know what they're mad about?
I have no idea. I just know the strike was supposed to start Friday. That's why they have stopped loading some of the trains. And everybody's real concerned about it, which they should be.
Rightfully so.
But is it all of the railroaders going on strike? Or is it just BASF or BNSF? Or is it...
So it was just the Norfolk Southern. But...
I mean, I know they all kind of tie in together.
I think with the problem with a railroad strike is that if you shut one down, you kind of shut them all down. Yes. Except for some of your small short tracks.
See, I didn't know that's because they're all so intertwined, and I didn't know if the union was one railroad worker union. Like, they're all going to walk out.
I would assume so, but I don't know. I would assume that would just be like the electricians union or the pipe fitters union.
Yeah.
I'm assuming there's like a rail workers.
But then you've got the auto workers union, and the only ones that went on strike were the Deer guys a couple years or last year.
I don't think that was an auto workers strike.
But the auto workers union was the one working the...
Right, but I don't... See, that's the deal. I don't think that that was a union-wide strike. I think this was...
Union-wide.
Might have been. Fuck, I don't know. So, 2 hours ago, they said that they had hit a tentative deal, but it still faces tough union votes. So, I mean, like, by the time people hear this, they might be like, what the fuck are these two jackasses going on about? But so, we'll move on. But anyway, that is something to look forward to. Maybe not look forward to, but pay attention to, because it is definitely going to raise certain prices. And I think it could, as like you said, we're going into the corn market. I think it could bump that up from a, like a basis standpoint, like a local basis, yeah, if it did happen. But I don't know that it's going to be enough to justify the added expenditure of the fertilizers and your other stuff. So I think it's just something to be cognizant and aware of, pay attention to. You know, if you're going to sell some corn at a good price, maybe we do some fertilizer too.
Yeah. The bad part is it may not affect the people here on corn price much, but it could really tank the people up north of here.
Oh, and it's also going to hose them on anhydrous because they rail that shit in up there.
Yeah. Well, and they rail their corn out, so they can't get any corn out. The elevators aren't going to be as interested in buying it.
If they got nothing to do with the corn, they got no reason for the fertilizer.
I mean...
Also, I don't think in the Midwest they're big on fall fertilizer.
They do a lot of spring, don't they?
I think they're pretty heavy in the spring, and I know they do a lot of like potash and shit whenever like the ground's frozen.
Yeah.
But I could be 100% wrong, but I don't think they do just like a shitload of anhydrous in the fall like you see around here.
That is, I think you're right.
Okay, well, we're going to go with that.
All right.
And we're going to move on here. And we're going to follow that up with the Ukrainian war.
What's going on in the Ukrainian war? I have not kept up with this. The last I heard, Russia was allowing some exports to come out, or everybody had agreed we were going to, Ukraine was going to export some stuff. And then the next day they bombed their port.
More or less, that's last I heard, too. but the question I had, this is kind of like whenever we do farming fuck-ups, and we just speculate wildly. How long do you think this deal is really going to go on?
You know, I'm afraid it's going to go on quite a bit longer because I made that earlier statement. Somebody did say the other day that Ukraine was starting to take back a lot of the stuff that Russia had taken from them. So I'm wondering if we're starting into real...
But they weren't taking, like, real vital portions of the territory. Like, I feel like Russia kind of let them take that. Well, and I'm kind of wondering if they're going to try to flank them. Again, we're going off my experience with Risk, which I'm very good at. But they didn't get that much territory back. And I don't think that it was a very crucial portion. Like, that's not like the prime ground that you got to get a hold of.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's still helping drive our markets, which...
Oh, it's driving them all, bud.
I know. That's what I was going to say was unfortunate. While it's driving the corn and wheat and everything up, it's also driving the fertilizer prices up.
And you know, old Vlad doesn't strike me as a guy that's got a lot of quit to him. Like, he seems like the kind of guy, once he's made up his mind, that's kind of what he's going to fucking do.
Well, And then I think he's kind of surrounded by a bunch of yes men because everybody's afraid to tell him no.
Here's the deal.
Because I heard one commentator say that's how they got in this situation, because everybody told old Vlad, you know, 2 weeks tops, you're going to be through that country.
Here is one thing that I'm surprised about with the whole Ukrainian war. he could have been through that deal in 2 weeks. Like, not a fucking doubt in my mind that he could have.
You would think.
But he showed some restraint in some areas that I'm very surprised he did. I'm not saying it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
It's probably for the best. So I'm trying not to come off as a Russian sympathizer here, but I do applaud his little bit of tact, but I'm wondering how long that holds on. Because like you said, they take something back. I could see him being like, oh fuck me, right? No, fuck you. And I could see him doing that pretty quickly, which I think is going to make all of our trade problems
worse.
So much worse for so much longer.
Yeah. More sanctions come down, more trade embargoes.
Yeah, I think you actually end up with, instead of us sending billions of dollars we don't have, I think it's going to have people on the ground.
Yeah, and we get in that situation, it is going to be a lot worse.
So much worse.
Just everybody leave the nukes at home.
I mean, I feel like that wheel has started moving, and there's no stopping it.
I still think my message to everybody tonight is, leave the nukes at home, boys. Leave the nukes at home.
I agree with your basic statement.
Like that old Steve Earle song, leave the guns at home, Bill.
Don't take your gun to town. No.
Was that Steve Earle? No.
Pretty sure that's a Johnny Cash song.
I was fixing to say, yeah.
I was thinking about it because I was trying to remember if Steve Earle ever covered it.
No, Steve Earle like was kind of thing. The devil's right hand.
Yes, which was not a gun control song in the 80s whenever he did that live album, but now he uses it like it.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard that?
Uh-uh.
He talks about that song. I think it's either before or after he writes it. He's like, oh, you know, a lot of people don't like this song because they see it as like gun control or something. I wasn't trying to write a gun control song. I was just trying to write a song about a miscreant teen in the 18-somethings. Like, he sells the fucking CD that it says that.
I'm not surprised.
Which, if anybody has that on vinyl, I would love to buy it off of you. Because I think it would be a really cool vinyl to have.
I bet it would be. Yeah, I mean, either one.
But I'm not buying it from Steve Earle.
Oh, are you not?
No. Like, if you had it, I'll give you money for it. That's fine. But that fucker, he's... No. Me and Steve are done. He left Texas. He moved to New York.
Oh, I didn't know
he's
that.
He's become kind of a cocksucker. He talks a lot of shit about Texas.
Oh, I hadn't heard any
he's
of that.
He's very anti-gun. He's very,
I knew
like,
he was that. He's
vegan,
very liberal.
Anti-beef. Like,
what?
It's not so much that he's liberal. Like, I don't give a fuck who he votes for. It's like his basic principles in life have started to piss me off.
I knew he was starting
it
to look
to,
like a hippie sucker.
You know, like, whenever he kind of started getting that way, I applauded him because he said on their tour bus, they would do anything they could not to stop at a Walmart or a McDonald's. They would stop at a local grocery store or a small chain of grocery stores.
Yeah.
Or they would go to like a cafe if they wanted to get something to eat.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I like that. Support yeah. small businesses.
Yeah. Good for him.
But it's where he went from there.
It's like he looked at old Willie and said, oh, everybody thinks you're extreme? Hold my beer.
Oh, y'all ain't seen extreme.
Watch this.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a big Greta supporter too.
I'm not surprised.
No.
I'm really not surprised.
No, I mean, he makes a living literally driving around in a fucking bus.
Yeah.
Getting 3 miles to the gallon, but, you know, hey, that's fine. That's fine.
So that one took a turn.
I kind of thought some of these topics would. That's why they're pretty short, but they got room for deviations.
You want to throw a farming fuck up in there?
I don't have one, but I'm not done with my topics. If you got a fuck up, we can talk about fuck ups.
I do.
But
you wanna,
can
you
I get through my shit first?
Yeah, let's go through all yours. I didn't know if you needed a break or.
Really, I've got one more that I want to talk about. And then we can go from there. Let me find this deal real quick. Where did it go? Oh, shit. I took a screenshot of it. That's right. Okay. Do you know who Damian Mason is?
That name sounds familiar.
So he wrote a book called Food Fear.
Okay. I have not read it, but I've heard about it. My father-in-law gave my wife a copy. Got a copy of it downstairs.
Yeah. I started rereading it the other day. And I follow him on LinkedIn. He talked at a sales meeting I was at one time. And yeah. He's a very, very good guy. He's the guy, he tells the joke about, you know, he raises Black Angus cattle. And the problem is he's a lot better at selling beef than he is at raising beef. And so occasionally he has to go down the road to his brother's dairy farm and he sells some Black and White Angus beef.
Well, because the definition of an Angus for the Angus program is 50% black.
51% black, and you got to be a choice or better, which I don't know if you're going to get out of a Holstein.
It's going to be tough, but I think if you feed them right...
Either way, it's funny, dickhead. You're not supposed to analyze it. It's just funny.
Oh, fair enough. My bad.
Playing cars with my sister's kids. But anyway, so he put something on LinkedIn the other day, and it had a picture of him holding a a paper straw in a... I'm not sure if that's a glass of whiskey or a Coke. He kind of cropped that picture a little bit.
Two look very similar.
But anyway, he said, cups, plates, beverage bottles, detergent containers, buckets, hundreds of pounds of plastic going to landfills, yet these little straws are the problem. This is similar to movements against livestock production and environmental reasons. The environmental reality versus emotion of the movement and coinciding virtuous, in parentheses, meaningless, gestures. Paper straws, done voluntarily or by legislation, are a good example of meaningless gestures coinciding with a cause. If those who seek credit for improving the environment or score political points by appealing to environmentalism truly wanted to make an impact, they'd address the 220 pounds of plastic waste each American uses annually, of which only 5% gets recycled.
That's kind of depressing.
Hey, man, if I'm up to 5% on recycling, kudos to me, because I'm pretty sure.
No, the amount of plastic that gets used.
Yeah, it's a lot of plastic.
Because I can guarantee you my recycling is zero.
I see a recycling bin. I'll throw shit in there. But
yeah, I'm going to guess I'm not getting to 5%, though.
I liked what he said there. And I like a lot of what he said. He said some very interesting, because he has a lot of time airport shit like that.
Yeah.
He posts shit on LinkedIn all the time. Very interesting. I don't know. I thought it was cool. Thoughts? Concerns?
I would say he's right.
I would say that this is the opposite of your stupid social media.
Yeah. No, I would agree
segment.
With you.
It's very good. And I think that we've said it a lot on here. I don't know that a lot of people say it often. The meaningless gesture part is something that I really latched hold of.
Yes. That was something I grabbed too.
Plastic straws. Fuck yeah. Plastic straws.
You know, they're just really trying to get to make it look like they're doing something.
Yeah.
When they're not doing anything, because they know anything they do that's going to affect real change or that would cut that number is going to have such a drastic change on everybody.
Well, and they made it such
they're going to have an uproar.
They made it such a polarizing deal. I think...
Well, and that's kind of where I'm coming from.
One time I flew last year. Remember, I think you might have been with me. Anyway, I was at an airport bar, and this lady said, I would like a Coke with a straw. And then she says, hold up, have you got paper straws? And she reaches in her purse, and she has a fucking handful of plastic straws in her purse. Yeah, it's raining.
It's raining.
But she has just like a 4-inch diameter wad of plastic straws going, if you've got paper straws, I don't fucking want it.
I don't remember being there for that one.
That might have been whenever I was on my work trip.
But I do remember something like that with a metal straw, with a lady that was carrying her own metal straw.
Okay, well, see, that lady actually might believe in the recycling bit.
Yeah.
The lady with the plastic was clearly saying, fuck you, I'm not drinking out of a paper straw, no matter what you fucking say. And if you think you're going to do something good for the environment, well, I'm going to counteract it, because everywhere I go, I'm throwing paper or plastic straws out the window.
Yeah, I mean, you got people like that. And that was kind of what I was getting at with my point of, if they had picked anything that might have made a difference in that plastic number. Because, I mean, we do use a lot of plastics. Plastics don't go anywhere. You know,
I use a shitload of Ziploc bags.
Oh, I do too. But, I mean, if they're really trying to get rid of plastics, they would go after something that would end up really affecting people. Everybody threw a shit fit over the straws. How bad are they going to throw when you take away their... Ziploc bags or their throwaway Tupperware containers like your lunch meat comes in anymore.
You want to get into some conspiracy corner?
All right.
So last year, this is a segment none of y'all have heard, but we'll try to get it toned down sometime where y'all can. So last year there was a shortage of jugs and also the lids that go on the jugs for herbicides.
I remember that. And also a shortage of totes, wasn't there?
The totes weren't so much a shortage. It was that we couldn't get them.
There was a shortage like, in this country.
They were on a boat somewhere.
That's what I'm saying. They're,
I think they were actually technically in this country, but they were like right outside of it. Like probably American waters.
That's what it, okay. They were still, they were off the coast, but they
were. Yes, but you couldn't get the lids. You think that was the government trying to shut us down? Make us find new ways?
You know, at this point, I have no idea anymore, bud.
Well, that's not very fun.
But I would not be surprised. What do you think?
I'm going to say no, because I'm trying to remember exactly when that deal started. It might have been.
I mean, if you're going to go down that rabbit hole, the whole COVID deal that supposedly caused it.
No, I mean,
not getting into that one, huh?
We all know where we stand.
So, but yeah, no, plastic and plastic use, that is a hot topic. And if, I mean, as I said, anybody wanting to make real change about it, isn't going to do anything because they're going to have so many people mad at them, they're going to get voted out.
Yeah, pretty much. So. Pretty much. Did you see where the Democrats are turning on each other?
I did not, but I'm not surprised.
There was a gal from...
Hell, the Republicans are turning on each other. It's time the Democrats did the same.
Where's that? I think South Carolina. Georgia. Somewhere in the South. This lady, it was a black lady, and she was a senator or running for Senate, I forget which, and she made the comment about how she grew up around white folks, and you just got to treat them like shit, or they'll do the same to you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Democrats are either telling her, I don't remember if she's like sitting Senate running for re-election, or if she is running... for the first time, but she has been told by some key Democrats, like, no, we're done. You need to go somewhere else. Which kudos to them.
I was fixing to say, that surprises me that they took that stance.
Yeah.
Goddamn, we're getting all sorts of political up here tonight.
Ain't got much else to talk about.
Remember the first couple episodes we'd
But kinda that was then. This is now.
Almost talked about something political.
A podcast is an ever-evolving thing, all right? This week, we're talking about politics. Next week, we might be talking about jambalaya recipes. I don't fucking know.
I hope so.
That'd be... I mean, I got a good one. But either way, neither here nor there.
I don't have a good one. I need a good one.
I'll hook you up after we get done here.
We're not
going to start Tyler's recipe corner on the podcast.
I was hoping you were alluding to something that's in the work.
I'm still working on that.
Okay,
but
anyway, back to
that. Yeah, kudos to the Democrats for standing up.
Yeah, exactly. Finally,
for once, they're fighting racism on all fronts.
It's kind of a first for them.
It's an election season.
It is that. Which also, I'm surprised they're letting gas go back up. This close to an election.
They can't control the gas prices.
But, I was pretty sure that...
Oh, just remember, all the way up, it was the president doesn't set the gas price. The president doesn't set the gas price. The president... Oh, look what Joe Biden's doing. He's making the gas go down.
Yeah.
Which, if you look, every election, the gas goes down.
Oh, yeah.
Normally not so much during the midterms. This is a little bit of a surprising dip.
It's not because it's going to be such a contested midterm, I think.
Still, even in the other, like, bigger midterms that I recall, I don't remember gas's prices dropping that hard.
Yeah.
And that's normally for the big one, the ever 4-year one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's, once again, ever evolving. Just trying to keep everybody apart. Keep everybody divided.
Maybe.
Sorry, that maybe came out wrong.
Have you heard about the California, what do they call it? The flex.
Oh, yeah. The flex hours?
Yeah. Yeah. Where you're not allowed to run your dishwasher, charge your electric car, or keep your thermostat below 78.
Keep your thermostat below 78. I've never had my thermostat set below, or set above 72.
I feel like I probably have for short periods of time whenever I used to have that programmable thermostat and there wasn't anybody in the house during the day.
I've got a programmable one. I'm too lazy to learn how to use it.
Oh, it was also real easy. I had an app on my phone.
But also, there's someone in my house typically 24 hours a day.
That's the difference. And I had empty house. So it wasn't for a long time because I didn't want to have to like wait for it to cool down whenever I got home. So, I mean, like 10 to 2, something like that. I would have it set at like 73-ish.
Can't risk that day that you're late for work. Didn't leave till 10.
Also, I do set my thermostat now at about 72 or 73. But in my living room, it's always in the mid-60s.
See, that's how our house is. Where our thermostat is, it's set to 71, 72.
Yeah.
But the rest of the house stays 70, 71.
Oh, no, fuck that. Wouldn't live like that. I'd set yours at like 70, 68. 69. There's a reason I'm paying $400 electric bills. Right? I will not be hot.
No, I mean, that is the hottest.
But I save on gas in the winter.
There you go.
I'm consistent. We want a 65-degree house. But anyway, I thought that was interesting that the place that is going to ban the sale of gas cars by, what was it, 2030? Somewhere in there?
Is it 2030 or 2035?
It's not that far in the future that they're not going to allow gas vehicles.
But it's far enough they're more than one election cycle away from it, because I was hearing somebody say, you know, they're never going to get there because it'll swap again. But yeah.
What's going to swap in California? They've been Democrat run for fucking as long as I've been alive.
Even when they elect a Republican, they're...
Yeah.
Pretty left. No, I agree with you, but that was the excuse that I had heard. But then again, like you said, the state that is banning gas cars, making you go to electric cars, so you mess up.
Like,
you
it's don't, one thing. You don't it's, feel. Or it's you don't, one thing to say you can't charge your car between the hours of 4 and 9 or whatever. Okay, I'll let that go. I can't wash my clothes. I can't use my oven. Like, are microwaves okay? What if that's when your lunch break is? How are you going to cook your ramen?
From what I understood,
you're damn sure not going to do it with a stove.
Microwaves were out too.
Yeah.
So like, it was any large appliance, any high use electrical appliance was out. So
like
no
the people I heard
dishes.
Talking about, it's like, well, your refrigerator can stay on, but don't open the fucking door.
Yeah. Or your freezer.
What if you've got a window unit air conditioner?
No, it's out too.
Yeah. No thermostat on that piece of shit. It's just blowing.
No, most of them have a thermostat on.
We had thermostat on ours at the Pueblo.
I mean, it doesn't
How often
it
did
works.
It kick off? Whenever it got cold. That's whenever it shut off.
That's a big house.
But it's just fucking asinine.
It is. It's stupid. And that's why there's so many people leaving California and unfortunately coming here.
Yeah.
You know what is a much better state to travel to than Texas?
Oklahoma.
Kansas.
Nebraska. I'd even go so far as to say Missouri.
Missouri. Arkansas.
I'll be fine with that.
I mean, they're so cross-eyed, they'll never see them coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, hope we don't have many listeners in Arkansas.
I don't know that we do, but I don't know that I'm going to really stamp that statement.
It's a controversial statement.
Okay, well, I'm kind of done with my trip around the world there.
All good topics, Tyler.
I try hard. Something you wouldn't know much about.
No, you're right. Pretty much.
So let's talk about a farming fuck up.
So this is one that you sent to me before the podcast. I was looking through, I was cleaning up memory on my phone that I found this. I don't even remember when it was from.
What kind of bitch ass phone do you have to clean up pictures?
I'm running out of memory.
I've got pictures from whenever I had an iPhone 4 that have carried over.
It was asking me if I wanted to delete messages and attachments.
Oh.
Which it can't be that old because it's an X9 combine.
It's not very old.
I think it was like last year.
Maybe 2 years.
Yeah, year before. I think it was when they first came out. But they parked it right at the edge of a cornfield. Just a second, I'll text
it. Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah. And the horn on the pivot hit it. And it's really an expensive place to park a combine. It's in the drop box.
That came out in August of 2020. Okay. Fucked up farming. Where's that on the Dropbox? Farming. Fuck.
I'm just gonna text it to you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's. Oh, that's a bad place to park it.
I mean it. It really didn't do that bad of a job on the pivot.
Okay, so I remember this picture. It flipped over the end of it, and it fucked up that back part, I think.
Yeah, it looks like it's maybe not cratered the back end of the combine, but pretty damn close to it.
At the time, I remember thinking, I remember me and you talking about this, and I remember asking, well, is that just how the back of that combine looks, or is it missing some shit up there above the deer?
I think it's bent in over the fuel tank.
Yeah. But I remember the story on this. That was a demo combine.
I thought it was because
like you couldn't even buy one yet, but there was a few floating around people to try out.
Yeah. They knew they were coming out.
And so not only did the guy parked it at the edge of the field because that was the last field of corn that he had. And he called his guy and he's like, hey man, fucking combine's here. Come get it. Didn't think anything of it. Went to move the combine to plow or fertilize or do something. Went to move the pivot. They told him they would come move the combine, but they didn't.
So is that like a pivot that was on pivot track or something where he just started it from his phone and didn't look?
I don't know. It might have been a deal where the guy started it and then went to lunch and he was waiting for it to get to the other half. I don't know.
I would like to think on that one it's like a pivot track.
Well, he might have been working on the other side of the field and maybe he called the guy and maybe it was pointing like straight north and that combine was over here on the west. And he called the guy and said, hey, I'm moving this pivot. Can you come? Or maybe he thought it was out of the way.
Maybe there's a hill in it.
Yeah.
He didn't see the combine. That's why I was saying pivot track. He wasn't there. He'd called him like 2 weeks ago. Hey, come move it. He's going to plow that
field. It had been sitting there for some time.
Yeah.
Before it got ran over. But the John Deere dealer said, hey, what the fuck are we going to do about this? And he said, well, I'm going to pay for my pivot and you're going to pay for your combine. And the John Deere house said, no, sir, you're liable for that. And he said, well, okay, you can just cancel the order I turned in the other day for two of those. Then all of a sudden they can be friends again. He's going to pay for his pivot. They're going to pay for their combine, but which I think he even talked them into paying for the pivot.
Well, either you would think it's insured because you lease a combine, it's insured. I would think you demo a combine. The John Deere
I'm house assuming there was a deductible of some sort, and that's what they're
but what they're on. Yeah. But I would have agreed with the farmer on that.
Yeah. Okay, never mind. I didn't like it that much. Fuck you.
I'll stick with my S790 or whatever he's got. Because I think if he's going to an X9, he's probably got one of the bigger.
Especially if he's buying two of them.
Yeah.
He had to be running at least like four 780s.
Three?
Three to four.
780s or 790s.
Yeah.
Because those X9s are supposed to be big combines.
They look like it.
And they're priced like it. So, yeah, no, I wanted to bring that one up since that was an oldie but a goldie. One that kind of started the seeds of the podcast.
It's harvest time, so let's go ahead and pay attention.
Exactly. Watch where you park your shit.
It's a good lesson year-round, but especially at harvest time, people get tired. People just want to park shit and go the fuck to bed. Let's think about it.
If you're moving a pivot, make sure you park anything outside of a pivot.
And especially on that one, it's not like, you know, you just have to watch for tracks.
He missed it by 10 foot.
You got to watch for pivot, just tracks.
If he'd have moved it over, maybe not even 10 foot, he'd have missed it. He might have caught that end nozzle on the corn head.
Maybe. I don't know. Was that head up?
No, it's down.
Okay, it's down. Sorry, I put my phone down for a second there.
No, the width of the combine. He was the width of the combine away. So that
like
would
the
be,
actual combine, not the header.
Yeah, because it looks like the end nozzle is just over that auger.
You know, in looking at this, I'm not sure how the fuck he didn't clip the header with the wheels.
Because it didn't get there.
Oh, yep. Looking at that from the wrong direction.
That kind of reminds me of the time that I parked the 4440.
Yeah, we've all heard this story before.
I couldn't remember if I told it on here or not.
We've talked about it.
Yeah.
You went to lunch. And you went somewhere.
No, I went to lunch.
Ran the tractor over.
Yep. Climbed all the way up the hood of the 4440.
Still see the creases on the hood.
You still can. All right. You want to make a call or?
No, I think we're good.
Are we?
I think we're good.
Okay.
Been here like an hour.
Fair enough. You got any random thoughts? I think you've had all your random thoughts.
I think I've had enough. I do have a trivia question for you, though.
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I
want to
go first.
All right.
Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Here it is. What is the only edible food that never goes bad?
The only edible food that never goes bad. I feel like that's easy, but also tough at the same time.
It's super easy after I give you the answer.
Pickles?
No. Pickles go bad. Pickles mold. You want me to tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's honey.
Yep. Nope. Because all you got to do is heat it up, mix it back in, because sometimes it'll...
That's only processed honey. Is it processed honey?
Yeah, pasteurized.
I think it's raw honey never crystallizes.
Really?
Maybe it's the other way around.
No, because that Teal Creek honey is... Isn't it processed? Shameless plug.
I think so. I saw a deal from the folks there in White Deer that make honey.
Really?
And they were talking about how to get it back into solution.
All you do is you heat it up.
Yeah, simple.
Yeah.
Run it under hot water for 30, 40 seconds. And normally comes back. I don't know how people get to that point because there's two people in my house that eat an inordinate amount of fucking honey.
Really?
Yes.
See, I buy
it. And the big one puts it in her coffee. Like, I'm talking, we go through one of those that you mentioned. Week and a half, 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah.
It's a good thing you're making that high-dollar salesman money, because honey's expensive.
Especially that shit.
Exactly.
Which I want to get some of that stuff from White Deer. Which I'm hoping it would help my allergies.
I could see that. Which I drink every once in a while. I'll put honey in my coffee.
I don't like honey in coffee.
Every once in a while.
I'll put it in tea, but I still prefer sugar.
No, I think I prefer honey.
About the only time I eat honey is on cornbread. More of a jelly guy or gravy guy.
Yeah.
But I'll go with biscuits. And then, like with a peanut butter sandwich. I like peanut butter and honey.
Okay. We use it. I think we go through one of those maybe in 6 months to a year.
Y'all ain't eating enough honey.
Apparently not. All right. So you ready for this one?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
All right. This is a probably going to be pretty easy.
Is it? You're going to be a dick because I told you the only thing off limits on this was ancient Egyptian.
No, this is actually.
I knew as soon as I told you that you were going to try to go as obscure as you possibly fucking could.
I thought about doing Scottish royal family because, you know, you're Scottish.
And I'd have probably knocked that one out of the park.
But now let's go with, can you name the top five most popular breeds of cattle in the U.S.? And this is according to the U.S. Cattlemen's Beef Board.
In the U.S.?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to go Angus, Hereford.
What?
Do I have to go in order?
No, you don't have to go in order, but there's more than one Angus.
Are they both on there?
Maybe.
Well, I was thinking Black Angus.
Okay, Black Angus.
Charolais.
Okay.
Hereford. There's a lot of those more minor ones than I'm... Maybe Maine's.
You got the top three.
Brahmins?
Nope.
Really?
Mm-mm.
I guess there's not that much.
This is harder for you than I thought it would be.
Well, everyone that I think, I'm like, oh, that's not going to be it. I'm guessing Red Angus is on there based on my previous question. Yeah.
So now you're out of order.
I'm out of order?
Red Angus was the fifth. So you got one, two, and three in order.
Got one, two, three, and five.
Yeah.
I'm looking for number four.
Looking for number four. You're thinking too hard about it, bud.
Simmental?
Yep.
Okay. I'd buy that.
You want to go for
kind of surprised Bramer wasn't on there.
I am too. The Bramer didn't even make top 10.
Well, I'm guessing Shorthorn didn't.
Mm-mm.
We already said Maine didn't. Limousine?
And this... Pretty sure so it's not. The way it's phrased, the next five may not be the top 10, but they are very well known.
I'm not going to fucking get that.
Here are the five most popular U.S. beef cattle breeds, plus five more that are very well known in the United States.
Okay.
So you got the top five, and then the next ones are Texas Longhorns, Gilbies, which is surprising.
Oh, okay. Those aren't.
That one surprised me. Holstein didn't, because dairy cows.
See, I was about to go into dairy cattle, but you said beef cattle.
Then you got limousines. Well, you got to think a lot of Holsteins are going into
beef. There's not that much fucking veal going into beef, and Brahms doesn't sell that many goddamn hamburgers.
And then Highlands. Highlands was the last one. How is that one?
I don't know what the fuck they were basing those last five off
of. The last five were kind of out there.
I mean, there is a Highland show in Denver.
There are Highlands here just down the road.
Who the fuck has Highlands?
I don't know who has them, but it's at the end of that road.
At the end of this road?
That road. So you go four down to 152, and it's at 152 and four.
That's got to be a hobby deal.
It is. You look at it.
Are they the full Highlands or the miniatures?
I hadn't seen them that close, but you look at them, and somebody told me, like, they drove by and they were next to the fence. And so I drove by a little bit later, and they were all out in the middle of the pasture, and I was looking at them through binoculars.
I think those are full-blown Highlands, because I think I remember somebody from Pampa showing Highland heifers or something one year.
May have been.
Because they got their ass stomped, and everybody, and they're like, well, I don't know, they didn't put us in the right class. It's like, well, what fucking class did you want to be in?
It's got to be exotic.
Your own fucking class? Yes. It's like, oh, believe it or not, your little woolly fucker couldn't beat a Charlet. I don't know what the fuck to tell you.
Did you want to be in Europeans? Because you're not going to do any better than you did in the exotics.
Throw them in the AOBs. Maybe you find a humpy hater.
That's your only hope. So, no, I'm surprised you did a little worse at that than I thought you would. I figured you'd have named all five of them just right off the bat.
Well, that is a tougher question than you think about.
It is, because you overthink it.
Man, I'd have never guessed Texas Longhorn being on that fucking second list. Unless they're just going well known.
Or the Highlanders.
Or limousines. Or more importantly, the fucking Gelbies.
Yeah. So, you want to know the other...
How the fuck are Bramers not on that list, but you got Gelbies up there?
Exactly.
I think people are confused.
So, there are only 20 or less than 20 breeds that make up the majority of the genetics utilized in the U.S. for commercial beef production.
I'll buy that.
So.
I'm also a little surprised Maine wasn't a little bit higher.
You know, Maine? Simbra?
Well, that's crossbreed, so I was kind of trying to kick my crossbreds out.
Okay, so yeah, full bred. Jersey?
Not really a beef breed.
No, but they've got Holsteins on there.
Which is awful.
Like you said.
We've got a little shady here.
They're cutting hairs.
I think you're going to have to start finding more reputable sources to find your shit. I agree with the top five. They're right.
I do.
It probably took me a little longer to come up with that than you thought. But
I almost didn't do it because I was like, this is going to be a gimme. But then I was reading the article.
I know all the fucking breeds. You knew I was going to guess it.
Well, yeah. But no, I figured you'd have rattled them off. Because like I said, I read the top five. I was like, I have no argument with that. And then you named the top three in order.
Yeah. Well, those three were easy. Simmental should have been easier.
Yeah. I mean, my hint was going to be you have a close relation to this breed.
Well, I didn't. You know, it's one of those deals. Like, it just kind of takes a minute.
All right. Well, you ready to let everybody off here?
I guess. Let's listen to Cows with Guns and go home.
All right. Well, thanks to all of our sponsors. Everybody have a good week.
And especially thanks to Texas Beverage and Package. Go get you a bottle of this Calumet. Or if maybe you don't feel like spending that much money, buy you a bottle of that walking stick because it was very good.
I'll have to do that.
Or I sent a Snapchat a minute ago of that bottle. And the guy that gave us the Henry McKenna was saying that architect is good shit.
The architect is fantastic.
So we've listed off some bottles there at a varying price range. Go check them out.
They're all good.
Also, if you're looking for a about to be yearling Angus bull, give me a shout. Or give Royce a shout.
Yeah.
Old Reggie, he's ready to go to work.
You know, we got one that is about to be weaned that he'll be ready to go to work next spring. And he's looking stout.
Yeah, well, let's one at a time, bud. One at a time.
All right. Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good week.
All right. See ya. See y'all.
Fat and docile, big and dumb. They look so stupid, they aren't much fun. Cows aren't fun. They eat to grow, grow to die, die to be ate at the hamburger fry. Cows well done. Nobody thunk it, nobody knew. No one imagined the great cow guru. Cows are one. He hid in the forest, read books with great zeal. He loved Che Guevara, a revolutionary veal. Cows say tongue. He spoke about justice, but nobody stirred. He felt like an outcast, alone in the herd. Cow doll drums. He mooed, we must fight, escape or we'll die. Cows gathered around, cause the stakes were so high. Bad cow pun. But then he was captured, stuffed into a crate, loaded onto a truck where he rode to his fate. Cows are bummed. He was a scrawny calf who looked rather woozy. No one suspected he was packing an Uzi. Cows with guns. They came with a needle to stick in his thigh. He kicked for the groin. He pissed in their eye. Cow well hung. Knocked over a tractor and ran for the door. 6 gallons of gas flowed out on the floor. Run, cows, run. He picked up a bullhorn and jumped up on the hay. We are free-roving bovines. We run free today. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. Crashed the gate in a great stampede, tipped over milk truck, torched all the feed. Cows have fun. 60 police cars were piled in a heap, covered in cow pies, covered up deep. Much cow dung. Black smoke rising, darkening in the day, 12 burning McDonald's, have it your way. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. The president said, enough is enough. These uppity cattle, it's time to get tough. Cow dung flung. The newspapers gloated, folks sighed with relief. Tomorrow at noon, they would all be ground beef. Cows on buns. The cows were surrounded, they waited and prayed. They mooed their last moos, they chewed their last hay. Cows outgunned. The order was given to turn cows to whoppers, enforced by the might of 10,000 coppers. But on the horizon, surrounding the shoppers, came the deafening roar of chickens in choppers.
We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or dog. Oh,
oh, oh. Cows with guns.